Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT. Welcome to this edition of World Weekly with me, Gideon Rachman. This week we look at Spain, where the government of Mariano Rajoy and his popular party are embroiled in a party funding scandal that threatens to bring down the government. The crisis comes at a bad time for a country that's still struggling to revive an economy where unemployment is around 25%. Joining me on the line from Madrid is Tobias Buck, our bureau chief there, and in the studio is Tony Barber, our Europe editor. Tobias, first, I mean, this scandal's been rumbling along for quite a while. Why has it suddenly flared up?
Yes, well, the scandal first broke back in January when a Spanish newspaper published what it said at the time were copies of the black accounts, the secret slush fund accounts of the ruling Popular Party. Now, the man who apparently was in charge of that account is a former party treasurer of the PP, a man called Luis Bárcenas. Both he and the party at the time denied that the documents were correct. He said it wasn't his handwriting and so forth. Now he has radically changed his tune. He basically appeared in court on Monday here in Madrid and confirmed that indeed these were his accounts. They were the party accounts. He confirmed that he had made undeclared cash payments to top party leaders, including Mariano Rajoy, the current prime minister. And he also confirmed that the party had for some 20 years at least been receiving illegal and undeclared donations from construction companies and other businesses.
Tobias, I mean, that sounds pretty fatal to me. I mean, if the party treasurer has said he's running a slush fund in which the prime minister is directly implicated, how does the government survive that? Can it survive it?
Well, the government is surviving it quite well by simply denying that there is anything at all to these allegations. Their case is at least somewhat strengthened by the fact that Mr. Bárcenas is making all his declarations from jail. He was remanded in custody back in late June because this is actually how the whole scandal first started, because the prosecution found that this gentleman, the former party treasurer, had as much as 48 million euros in various bank accounts in Switzerland, and they would like to know where that money came from. So he is a man who has quite a few legal problems of his own, and what the government and what the ruling Popular Party are arguing is that he's simply trying to divert attention from his own legal troubles by pointing the finger of blame at Mr. Rajoy and at the rest of the party.
Now, Tony, I mean, obviously the whole of Spanish politics is inflamed by all this. From a distance, from London, does this look like a very serious crisis for Spain?
I think that it does raise serious questions about the ability of Mr. Rajoy's government to press ahead with the difficult economic and financial sector and fiscal policy reforms that are needed to strengthen Spain's position in the Eurozone. He faces problems on two fronts. One is with the 17 autonomous regions in Spain, not only the most restive, such as Catalonia and the Basque Country, but others, where the whole question of how to distribute the pain of the reform effort is causing a lot of tension. And the weaker he is because of this party financing scandal, the harder it is to negotiate from a position of strength with the autonomous regions. His second problem is that of the general public in Spain, which has to put it mildly, a very low opinion of the political party establishment, and has been undergoing a lot of pain through the higher taxes and spending cuts, not to mention the mass unemployment you mentioned, and frankly is disinclined to put up with more of this when it sees a scandal on this scale brewing up here in Madrid.
And, Tony, I mean, of course, the Spanish scandal is not an isolated crisis in southern Europe. I mean, it seems quite striking that over the last couple of weeks, after a period where things looked like they were settling down a little bit in some of the more troubled economies of southern Europe, you've got a government crisis in Portugal, you've got big strikes in Greece, Italy, you know, has a new government, but not terribly well dug in. Are we seeing a revival of political troubles right across the southern European belt?
You could also mention Cyprus, I think, whose bailout package was very badly organised in March and which dealt a fatal blow, I think, to the only recently elected president. So, yes, a lot of these troubles have resurfaced. I don't think they ever really went away, to be honest. The political instability in Italy is something pretty chronic. Portugal, the government, the centre-right government, struggled manfully to hold the line on its austerity policies agreed with Brussels, but you see the fracturing of that effort now. So it was a little complacent, if anybody really did think, in Brussels or at the ECB headquarters in Frankfurt, that the problems were disappearing. I'm not sure they ever really did think that, but yes, they are more visible than ever as we approach the August holiday.
Now, Tobias, I mean, Tony mentioned that the political scandal was playing out against the background of this terribly difficult economic situation in Spain. Is there any sign that the economy is reviving or that there'll be some cheer from that quarter, or are the political and economic crises likely to exacerbate each other?
Well, there are signs that Spain is gradually escaping from recession. The government is pretty confident that growth will return in the second half of the year. We have unemployment figures out for the second quarter next week, which will probably look quite good because Spain, for seasonal reasons, always does rather well in early summer. I think the real problem on that front is that growth will be far too anemic to create any jobs. So even the government expects the unemployment rate to remain around 25% all the way up to 2016, which of course means that they will have to face voters again with a pretty terrible record in the job market.
And Tony, I mean, what does that mean for the wider euro crisis? Obviously, it's pretty tragic for Spain, but is there a sense that if these countries don't pull out quickly, we're going to go back into the economic and financial aspects of the euro crisis reviving with spreads and problems about sovereign debt and so on?
The central effort of the European authorities since the crisis broke out has been to try and prevent the sovereign debt crisis and financial sector crisis from contaminating and destabilizing Spain and Italy in particular, both of which are regarded as countries almost too big for it to be possible to save if matters got out of control. In the case of Spain, there has been a flow of rescue funds to the financial sector. The question is whether that program might need to be extended beyond its deadline. It's supposed to expire around the end of this year. There is some talk that that might need to be extended because much of the Spanish banking sector is not fully back on its feet again. As I say, I think the real question is whether one might see the continuing problems in the smaller rescued countries, i.e. Greece, Cyprus and Portugal, to a lesser extent Ireland, whether those problems will flow back into the really big ones that matter, Spain and Italy. The jury's probably out on whether that might happen, but it certainly won't help if you see a gradual return to higher interest rates in the rest of the world, partly because of US policy beginning to affect Europe.
And Tobias, I mean, any European country, but particularly one that's in economic trouble, needs a forceful advocate in Brussels, needs a leader that can command the respect of his peers. I mean, Mr. Rajoy has always been a slightly bizarre political leader in the sense that he seems very introverted, not a natural communicator. Is he even more damaged now and therefore less effective in Brussels?
I think that is almost certainly true. I mean, he certainly has lost much ground here in Spain, not just because of the allegations, but also of the manner in which he responded to them. He has been very reluctant to say anything at all. He has steadfastly refused to appear in Parliament to answer questions about this. and he just sort of has been hiding behind a wall of blanket denials, which has weakened his position, which has massively weakened his poll ratings here in Spain, and of course that automatically feeds through into his standing in Brussels, where, as you rightly say, he has never really been a player at the top table, partly because of the country's economic weakness, but also partly because of his character, which is sort of, he's obviously not a sort of table-thumping leader.
And finally, Tobias, I mean, it does seem, given all that, quite striking that you still think he's going to be able to carry on. So what's wrong with the Spanish opposition? Are the socialists incapable of taking advantage of this? And also, a couple of years ago, Spain gave birth to the Indignados movement, the young people's movement occupying central squares in Madrid and elsewhere. So there seemed to be a lot of public pressure for change to the system. All that's kind of dwindled away, though, hasn't it?
Yes, there's certainly relatively little pressure from the street at the moment. I mean, the Indignados movement survives, but in various sort of splinter forms. There's various more targeted campaigns against house evictions, against banks and so forth, but there's no longer a sort of mass movement, a very visible mass movement that puts great pressure on the government. And regarding the political opposition, that has been really one of the most striking tales of the last 2 years, is that as unpopular as the current government is, as unpopular as Mr. Rajoy and the Popular Party are, still ahead in the polls compared to the opposition socialists, who have a fairly weak, lackluster leader, and who, of course, presided over the early years of the crisis, and hence find it quite difficult to capitalize on the weakness in Spain, given that many voters still blame them, or at least partly blame them, for the troubles in the first place.
Thanks, Tobias. Tony, just a final question. Just put this in a bit of perspective for us. I mean, it does seem remarkable, having followed European affairs for a while, that Spain, which used to be a sort of shining light of the EU, economically, politically, even culturally, it was a kind of the success story, it does seem in such a bad way at the moment.
I think what we're seeing there, though, is the slow seizing up of the institutions that were constructed after the end of the Franco dictatorship. And I include here the political party system, which, as Tobias indicated, has been very much a two-party system, really, since the early 1980s. There are signs that this is cracking a bit now. You're seeing new or revived movements on both the left and the right that are taking a certain chunk of the opinion polls. They aren't quite the same as the populist Beppe Grillo movement in Italy or the radical leftist movement Syriza in Greece. So some comfort can be drawn from that by the Spanish political establishment. But I think the problems with the legal system, the judiciary in Spain, the problems with the political parties, the somewhat lower reputation of the monarchy in Spain, all these things are combining to darken the outlook, I would say. And you're right, Spain was something of a golden boy for a long time. And also its population was very fervently pro-EU. It really saw Europe as the future and a place which guaranteed prosperity and political stability. And that is also coming into question in the minds of quite a few Spaniards. So this scandal over the Popular Party's financing couldn't really have come at a worse time.
Tony, thank you very much, and thanks also to Tobias Buck in Madrid. That's it for this week. I'll be away for the next 3 weeks, but World Weekly will carry on in my absence.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.